sucked in. That's where a Trail Big is able to come through. Austin Rapp as the Trail Big is following in. He's wide open and buries that three. But if you don't guard at an elite level on that end, especially against an ISO player, you aren't going to get opportunities for trail threes. That makes sense. That's a lot of basketball talk for October 24th.
That was fabulous. Great breakdown. I'm absorbing that and also letting our fans know that our broadcast tonight is brought to you by Rail Transport. For every mile of your truck driving career, learn more at rail.jobs.
Hope the truck drivers aren't driving too fast. Watch this Badger basketball team. But it's the pace at which Wisconsin's played at that's changed and obviously has talked about. But that last possession, you guard, you push, your trail's open. It's a thing of beauty. I might know a little bit about a trail three. I don't know anything about being an athlete or rebounding or playing defense.
Alley-oops.
No. The only alley-oops I know about dinosaurs. Those sorts of things. Like, I'm reading alley-oop books, but it's about a dinosaur. I have nothing about an alley-oop done. But when you do that, it allows that to happen. And now can Wisconsin guard 78-78 with 103 left? Can they guard this set from Oklahoma as Porter Moser, takes that time up to draw up a play?
Both teams with one timeout remaining. 103 to go, 78 all. Xavier Brown, the inbounder for Oklahoma, finds Wagee, top of the key, right back to Brown. He'll set up the offense. Brown, right of the circle, brings it back out, guarded by the 6'10 Austin Rapp. Brown, just off the free throw line, misses the 17-footer. Rebound loose, Wagee has it underneath. He misses the reverse, but a foul is called on Nick Boyd of Wisconsin.
And we talked about a lot. That last possession prior to this one was ISO. What did Oklahoma get there? ISO for Brown yet again. You've got to clean up the boards. I said that was one of the things that I'm looking at with this Wisconsin team is can they be elite on the boards? Or is that going to be an area that you look at and say, how does it handle? Because the Big Ten has a lot of bigs in it this year.
Yeah. So Wagee at the free throw line hits the first. 47 seconds to go, and Oklahoma takes a 79-78 lead.
And I know that's a big pitcher conversation, but sure. But we're in an exhibition game. That's something that you have to look at.
Wagee hits his second free throw. The senior with 9 for Oklahoma, and the lead is 2 for the Sooners with 42 seconds and running to play. Boyd at the free throw line. In it goes to Winter through his hands and out of bounds. Pass was a little bit behind him. It's a Wisconsin turnover with 37 seconds left, down 2.
A little behind, and the spacing was a little tight.
They'll work that out. You know, the chemistry between Boyd and Winter there.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's just one of those things that you need to play more, and you know that's why you play against Oklahoma.
Full court pressure for Wisconsin. Nigel Pack dribbling on Andrew Rohde. Across half court now, Pack in the corner on the left side. 18 on the shot clock, 24 seconds to go in the game. Pack dribbling with the right hand, knee high. Top of the key. Drifting to his right, cuts it back to the left elbow. Jumper on the way and good for Nigel Pack. That's cold. 14 seconds left. Wisconsin down 4. Boyd races down the floor, stripped in the lane out of bounds. No foul off Oklahoma. It stays with Wisconsin with 10 ticks left, down 82-78.
I did like the push there. Obviously, it looked like there was, hand on ball, so you out of bounds. But you want to attack quick here, down by 4.
You okay with a 2? We want a 3?
I think
whatever's
you,
there.
You can get a 2. We're still with 10. I think it gives you a chance to foul, extend the game a little bit, do some stuff to make sure that you're practicing. And again, we're in an exhibition right now. So it's you want to try to get as many reps as possible, so get the best shot.
Timeout called. Again, 10 seconds to play. We were tied at 78, and Oklahoma has scored 4 straight to lead 82-78.
And it started with the offensive rebound. That's where the first 2 came.
This is the 11th time Wisconsin and Oklahoma have met in basketball. It's actually a series that goes back longer than you might expect, all the way back to the 40s. And funny enough, Oklahoma actually has a 2-1 record against Wisconsin in the Badger State, even though Wisconsin leads the all-time series 6-4.
Now, here's my question. Is an exhibition count? When it comes when it comes to the SIDs of the world, the sports information directors.
I think maybe it would be included in A.J. Harrison's notes, but with an asterisk.
Okay. I would agree. And as you can tell, Wisconsin's down by 4. We're having some fun with this as well, because that's what this is. I feel like I've said it a lot here, but really, like, if you're Greg and Coach Gard, you want a game like this. Like this, you couldn't have asked for anything better. Obviously, the win, that helped. But, like, close game. At 6 minutes, it was close. So you had six minutes where you needed to execute or you needed to respond to a run by Oklahoma, and you did. And then it's a tie game, and, there's 30 seconds left, and you guard, but you don't rebound. Well, in film, you're going to see we got to close out a possession. We got to make sure we get that rebound. Those are all valuable things on October 24th. They're not valuable if they happen against BYU in a really important game when it counts. I guess it's always valuable, but it hurts a lot more.
Sure.
That's probably a better way of saying it. It hurts a lot more against BYU than it does against Oklahoma right now.
Nick Boyd inbounds, baseline left out of the timeout. Looking in the lane for Blackwell. Catch, Blackwell. Got to hurry, 7 seconds. Free throw line, fadeaway, good for John Blackwell. There are 6 seconds to go now, and it's 82-80. Oklahoma's lead cut to 2 and a timeout called. It was a timeout taken by Wisconsin, so now both teams are out of timeouts.
Well, what I love is, again, you get a rep now here at 6.1 as far as what needs to happen to execute in these situations. Greg does this all the time in practice. But none of these fans are there in practice. The environment is completely different. You get this down in a game rep. And I think that's always that value and that you don't. There's no number on what that does to when the real game comes.
A tough shot by John Blackwell there.
Yeah, he's going to be great.
20.
I mean, we talk about big picture stuff. I've liked what I've seen. Like, the couple of things that do come up is, like, the ability for John to really improve that three-point shot. He's 1-4. And I think those sorts of things are, as the season goes on, things you watch to say this team could be elite if you get, John Blackwell to shoot 40-plus from three. This team could be elite if they dominate the glass. And, I mean, those are the things that I look at that really are going to separate this team for the long haul as far as winning a Big Ten championship, making a deep run in the NCAA tournament. And that stuff will all change and it'll all morph as the season goes on. But early on, those are my couple of questions. Like, what does that look like? I'd say rebounding the basketball, still have a little bit of a question mark there. I think John Blackwell shooting the ball from three, we'll get more data on that to see how that plays out as well.
It's Oklahoma ball on their end of the floor. And this almost looks like a wide receiver formation in football right now. Dayton Forsythe to get it in. Everyone running a route right now. It goes into Nigel Pack just outside of the lane. A close range pass. And with 5.4 seconds left, Andrew Rohde commits the foul for Wisconsin. So two free throws coming up for Pack with Oklahoma. Well, I guess actually Oklahoma is not in the double bonus yet. Okay, now they are. Correction. That was the 10th foul on Wisconsin. So two free throws no matter what for Nigel Pack. Pack has been good. 13 points all in the second half. Limited to just 9 games last season as a Miami Hurricane before injury curtailed the rest of his season. He hits the first free throw there, and the next one is the one that really counts because it can make it a 4-point lead for Oklahoma with just 5.4 seconds left. Pack was 83% at the free throw line last year, but again in only 9 games. Second one's up and through for Nigel Pack. Both teams out of timeouts. 5.4 seconds left. 84-80 Oklahoma the score. Into Nick Boyd. Across half court with three. Boyd, three ball, right side. Good for Nick Boyd with 3/10 of a second left. Brown looks to inbound. He gets it in. A heads-up play by Xavier Brown. Scurrying to rush the inbound before Wisconsin could settle defensively. He found Muhammad Wagi, who just needed to touch the ball. And time expires. The game is over. But how about this? 84-83, Oklahoma beats Wisconsin in an exhibition nail biter. That was a really entertaining game.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's number one entertaining, but I think Greg learns a lot about his team in this environment, which is fantastic. And now there's some things to clean up. There's some things to really look at and say, hey, we did this well. Those conversations you have for another week. You still have one more exhibition game in there against Platteville. That allows you to kind of fix up some of those things and then tip that thing off November 3rd and let's go.
Let's go, baby.
And I think that's the excitement that happens with this is you have the ability to have some very valuable teaching points that can happen from this game that we haven't really seen. When Greg first got here, it was Athletes in Action in EA Sports. Those were your exhibition games, right? So these
times
are the
games.
Times have changed, but also what you get from those games have changed. And I think that's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing about it is you know what you've got. You win it against another, Power 5 team, Power 4 team.
Power 5, four now, yeah.
Power 4.
Also along the lines of things have changed.
Exactly, yeah, Power 4 team. But it's a great way of seeing where you're at. There's nothing bad that comes of this.
Definitely not. A fun way to continue to move forward to opening tip-off on a new college basketball season. Oklahoma edges out Wisconsin 84-83, the final here at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. We'll be back with the Wisconsin Ford Dealers post-game show. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
A lot goes into powering this community. That's why your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wants you to know we've got you. It's a pledge to make sure you're always taken care of. A pledge we honor every day. From our member service representatives to our linemen and those making sure the power you use is there when you need it. We've got you. Always.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Oakwood Fruit Farm is overflowing with the flavors of fall. Stop by and pick up Honeycrisp, Cortland, Macintosh, and all your favorite apples. The bakery's full of apple cider donuts, along with take-a-bake pies and gooey caramel apples. And while you're there, fill your basket with fresh apple cider, cranberries, pumpkin, squash, and other seasonal goodies. And here's the best part. Every Tuesday, enjoy 10% off all apple purchases. Savor the season at Oakwood Fruit Farm, where every bite tastes like autumn.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun.
LS tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
Badger Basketball has been brought to you by your Wisconsin Ford dealers, inviting you to visit your Wisconsin Ford store or buyfordnow.com. American Family Insurance, insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. Usinger's. Look for Usinger's famous sausage at your local grocer. The elf on the label means quality on your table. And by Menards. Save big money at Menards. Proud partner of Badger Basketball. Welcome to the Badger Post Game Show.
Yes, this is the Badgers Post Game Show, brought to you by your local Wisconsin Ford dealers. In exhibition play, Oklahoma knocks off Wisconsin 84-83. A game that got very close down the stretch. Wisconsin at one point rattled off 11 of 12 points to tie the game late. Oklahoma went on a mini 6-0 run, led 76-70 at one point. We then found ourselves tied at 78 late in the game. And Oklahoma largely through a couple of timely rebounds, and they were also good at the free throw line tonight. Knocked down some free throws late. They led 84-80 with 5 seconds left. Wisconsin was able to drain a three ball by Nick Boyd with just 0.3 seconds left and just ran out of time to try and get the ball back. And Oklahoma wins 84-83. Again, we're at Fiserv Forum in downtown Milwaukee. The Badgers will actually be back here during the regular season, not to take on Marquette. That game will take place at the Kohl Center this year, but to take on Villanova out of the Big East on December 19th. So Wisconsin will get another chance to have a home crowd here in Milwaukee. Always nice to see Badger Nation turn out in the state's largest city. Again, 84-83, the final score tonight. Taking a look at the box score, the Badgers were led in scoring by John Blackwell, the junior, with 20 points on 7 of 14 shooting. He tacked on 5 rebounds and 3 assists as well. Nick Boyd hit his only 3-pointer of the game at the very end of the contest and finished with 19 points on 6 of 17 shooting. He also had 6 rebounds and 3 assists. Austin Rapp had a really impressive performance for Wisconsin. Again, you won't call it his Badger debut just yet. It's still exhibition. But Rapp with 17 points on 6 and 11 shooting. He drained 3 threes and also had 6 rebounds and 3 assists. Nolan Winter also reached double figures for Wisconsin tonight. He had 10 points on 5 of 13 shooting, 5 rebounds, and a helper. Also getting in the box score in the point column tonight, Alexis Bieliauskas, the big man from Lithuania who's got a really good 3-point stroke. He had 2 of those tonight, finished with 6 points, 3 rebounds. Ran into a little bit of foul trouble, had 3 of those, and only finished with 13 minutes of floor time. Andrew Rohde had 5 points on 2 of 5 shooting, 4 assists. Braden Carrington had 3 points. He made his only 3-pointer, his only field goal as well of the game, also had 2 rebounds. And Jack Janicki had a triple. He finishes with 3 points in 13 minutes. On the evening, the Badgers shoot 43.5% from the floor. 10 of 31 from three-point range. That's good for 32.3%. And they go 13 of 18 at the foul line. That's 72.2%. Worth noting that the Badgers' shooting numbers from the floor and from three-point range were better in the second half than they were in the first. Oklahoma was led in scoring by point guard Xavier Brown, who finishes with 18 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. He was clutch late, handles the ball a lot, shot 7 of 15 from the floor. Nigel Pack also came up with some big points late for Oklahoma in their 1-point win. He finishes with 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. All 15 of his points scored in the second half. Darion Reed with 14 points for Oklahoma. Jeff Nwankwo with 10. That rounds out the double-digit scores for Oklahoma, but they got contributions up and down the lineup. Koala Tech with 9 points. Mohamed Wagi with 9 points. Dayton Forsyth with 4 points. Tay Davis with 3 points. And Kai Rogers, the native of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, played 3 years of high school ball at Tosa West. He finishes with 2 points, made his only shot from the floor. Sooners were red hot in the game, especially in the first half. They finish shooting just under 52% from the floor and 55% from three-point range. They shot 11 of 20 from deep. especially in the second half, the free throw shooting for Oklahoma really made a difference. They looked like the Badgers, quite frankly, at the free throw line. Very, very good. 15 of 17 for the game, 88.2%. 84-83 the final. Oklahoma with a one-point win over Wisconsin. Badgers will be back on the court to take on UW-Platteville for their final game of exhibition play. Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues after this break. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
The wait is over. Badger Hoops tips off this month. With new faces on the roster and highly anticipated conference battles ahead, the drive for excellence never changes. From buzzer beaters to Big Ten showdowns, Wisconsin men's basketball delivers the moments you live for at the Kohl Center. Purchase your single game tickets by visiting uwbadgers.com or by calling 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
You power your day with passion and purpose. It's the same for Alliant Energy. We're modernizing the grid, blending new, renewable, and traditional energy sources to meet growing demand safely and reliably. We're rising to the challenge to meet your energy needs today and for generations to come. Visit AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond to learn more.
It's Ford Truck Month in the state of Wisconsin, where we tailgate in sub-zero temps, spend our Friday nights at the old fish fry, and rely on the number one truck brand in Wisconsin to make it happen. Only in Wisconsin, only in a Ford. Time to save big on the trucks that are made for our state. Truck Month starts now.
Based on S&P Global Mobility Retail U.S. new vehicle registrations for the truck vehicle type CYTD December 2024.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance. From the volleyball court to the hockey rink, every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
WEA Member Benefits is proud to support Wisconsin public school employees. Founded by educators, for educators, everything we do starts with you. For over 50 years, we've provided trusted retirement and investment options, personal insurance, and financial planning programs exclusively for public school employees and their families. Visit WEABenefits.com. That's WEABenefits.com. WEA Member Benefits is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Crowd still filing out here of Fiserv Forum and into the Deer District just outside. There was a great Badger tailgate in the area right outside the Milwaukee Bucks home arena before. And Badger fans really excited about this upcoming college basketball season. Wisconsin number 24 in the preseason poll. They fall to Oklahoma tonight 84-83 in a very close exhibition game. And in a game that was really close from wire to wire, Oklahoma never led by more than 9 points in this game. Wisconsin's largest lead was just 6. There were lots of ties, lots of lead changes, especially in the final 6 minutes of this game. And as my broadcast partner Brian Butch pointed out, invaluable, really, experience for Wisconsin to have in an atmosphere with very low stakes. You get to play a quality opponent in Oklahoma, and you get to perhaps make some learning mistakes that don't end up in your season ledger. So Wisconsin with a lot to take from this showdown against an Oklahoma team out of the SEC. And it's an Oklahoma team, quite frankly, that I bet many of the personnel on Oklahoma staff don't really know much about. The Sooners lost all 5 starters from their NCAA tournament last run last season. They were bounced by UConn in the first round. So NCAA tournament season, I should say. The Sooners only have two players on the roster this year that saw regular court time last year. So it is a new-look Oklahoma team as well that has a chance to be pretty good. They brought in a four-player transfer class ranked sixth in the country. So all that to say, Wisconsin was not playing a pushover here in exhibition play, and Oklahoma shot the ball very well, 11 of 20 from three-point range in the game. Oklahoma also out-rebounds Wisconsin 36-33. Butchie was talking about the battle on the glass all night long. It was close, but it goes Oklahoma's way tonight. Oklahoma also with eight blocks to Wisconsin's one. Wisconsin had the edge in assists, 15-13. They also had 10 steals on the Sooners to Oklahoma's four. A really fun way to start the exhibition slate here in Milwaukee, 84-83, the final. Oklahoma edges out Wisconsin in the 11th meeting between the Sooners and the Badgers in basketball. When we continue, we'll check out the TDS out-of-town scoreboard. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Town and Country Television, Ann Appliance is your source for world-famous Speed Queen laundry products. With 3, 5, and 7-year warranty options, you'll be washing worry-free for years. Right now, an offer to save up to $400 on your choice of the sleek new matte black is waiting for you. Visit Town and Country Television and Appliance next to Goodwill, weekdays 8 to 5, or shop online at townandcountryrc.com.
Experience. When it comes to surgery, the more experience, the better. The surgical team at the Richland Hospital is experienced in using methods and materials that ensure that surgery is less invasive, healing is quicker, and relapse is less likely. For more information about surgeries performed at the Richland Hospital, visit richlandhospital.com.
Council.
Welcome back to Fiserv Forum. Our postgame show continues. Wisconsin falls to Oklahoma tonight, 84-83. And we will continue on this Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show with the TDS out-of-town scoreboard. Some really compelling exhibition games across the country all October. This was something that Brian and I talked about at halftime. You're seeing more really marquee matchups, you know, power four teams playing each other in exhibition season. Kind of an interesting turn for the sport, and one that we certainly welcome. It's good to get these big brand schools playing each other really anytime on the calendar. So tonight as well, just tonight alone, listen to some of these names: North Carolina at BYU, Kansas at Louisville, Villanova at Virginia, DePaul down the road in South Bend taking on Notre Dame, Purdue at Kentucky, Kansas State at Missouri, Utah at Oregon. This is just tonight to go along with an already robust slate of top-tier exhibition showdowns. So that has suddenly become in vogue in college basketball. Coaches want to see how their teams look against other big-name programs, especially with the way that rosters turn over, with the transfer portal being what it is, still, of course, with space for freshmen out of high school. G League players are eligible to compete. More and more players from the international scene are coming over to play NCAA college basketball. So, hey, we're here for it. Wisconsin, Oklahoma, if they want to play every preseason college basketball season, sign us up, especially if the games are as good as this. 84-83, Wisconsin over Oklahoma, the final. That's our TDS out-of-town scoreboard. More of our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show is coming up. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Few things can match a rockin' fifth quarter after a big Badger victory, but a pregame tailgate bash at Camp Randall with a grill full of Usinger sausage is awfully close. Hi, this is Robin Young. a parking lot filled with the delicious aroma of using her sausage cooking up on a crisp, cool fall day is a Wisconsin football tradition. Nearly 150 years of making Wisconsin's finest sausage guarantees you've got the best. The elf on the label means quality on your table.
You power your day with passion and purpose. It's the same for Alliant Energy. We're modernizing the grid, blending new, renewable, and traditional energy sources to meet growing demand safely and reliably. We're rising to the challenge to meet your energy needs today and for generations to come. Visit AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond to learn more.
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist. End the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill.
Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over.
Together, we can save lives.
Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Folks, the clock is ticking. Are you ready to get in the game? While your neighbors are stuck on the bench with a leaky shed, Cleary Building Corp is out here throwing down monster dunks in custom buildings. Whether you need a sports facility, storage for all your gear, or just a winning space to hang out, Cleary's dream team designs and builds it like the pros they are. Get in the game with Cleary Building Corp. Call today and let's build a winner.
Welcome back to Fiserv Forum in Madison. Final score of this exhibition tilt between Oklahoma and Wisconsin. Sooners 84, Wisconsin 83, a very close game. At the risk of calling myself out, in the previous postgame show segment, we ran through the TDS out-of-town scoreboard, and it was really more of the TDS out-of-town matchup board instead of scores. It is a little bit tougher, even with all these great matchups, to track down scores from preseason in college basketball in one concise location. Still working on that, even threw a prompt into ChatGPT and didn't come up with much. However, one notable score to just backtrack for you a little bit, Kentucky in exhibition knocks off Purdue 78-65. Significant because, of course, it's two blue blood programs, but also Purdue, the preseason number one team in the country this year. And according to some reports on X, Purdue run out of the gym, end quote, by Kentucky down the stretch in that game. So 78-65, the Wildcats, again, certainly not a pushover, knock off Purdue, the number one team in the country preseason, in preseason play. So you just never know. These exhibition games, what they mean as far as forecasting ahead to the regular season. But Brian Butch did a good job keeping things on the here and now and in the present. It just offers either the team that wins or the team that loses a chance to get some good film, a chance to run the floor against another good program wearing a different colored jersey, just some valuable learning experience and data gathering, kind of a fact-finding mission, if you will, for Wisconsin tonight. And they, even though they come up on the wrong side of that 84-83 score, have a lot to work on heading towards the start of the regular season. All right, We have some post-game audio that my intrepid broadcast partner Brian Butch was able to track down from Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. So we will play that for you now. Head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, Greg Gard, with his post-game thoughts from tonight's exhibition game.
Coach, an 84-83 loss to Oklahoma. Well, what are your takeaways? Just as you know, the first exhibition game, first time you got to see your guys, you know, against somebody else.
I think this was really good for us. I mean, this other than, you know, your final score, we saw a lot, got a lot exposed, a lot of things that we aren't good enough at. I think the newness of guys, not necessarily, you know, in a Wisconsin jersey, but the connections that we didn't have defensively. We had a lot of mistakes, a lot of switches that didn't get covered. There's just a lot of things we can learn from, and that's exactly what we needed to have for tonight. That's what I wanted, to show some things and show where we have to get better. That's the exciting part. It's not about where we are, it's where this group isn't right now that has me the most excited, and specifically on the defensive end. It's something we've talked about from day one, is a defensive identity, and we got it late, but we got it too late. So it's a great learning experience for us. You know, quite frankly, couldn't have turned out almost any better in terms of how we can use this to really grow.
Well, and you guys were talking, you talked about that. You're down six, you get three straight turnovers. Like, just having to have the answer, being able to play together, find ways to, you know, find that connectivity to make the right play. A lot of that, just, you know, watching it, having it play out, kind of, you know, John Blackwell, you know, finding a way to bring guys along. How nice is it to have him know what the standard is and be able to be vocal about that?
Yeah, I mean, he's organizing guys in the huddle. You know, it's the first time we've sat down on chairs like that, not in a practice setting. So there's, you know, so many things that were first for even.
We got to make sure we get the towel exchange right, though, Coach. I mean, we had a turnover on the towel exchange during the exhibition game. I was going crazy.
They're so excited to go in, they forget the towel. So a lot of nerves. But I think, like I said, it's exactly what you want out of it. You want to see areas that you have to get better at. It's so much better than playing a team where you just roll them, or you have even the close scrimmages are nice, but you don't have the game pressure maybe that with a crowd and those type of things. And obviously in this type of an arena, and you know, you get a high major opponent that you know, I think we'll have a good year. And, you know, when we have to adjust. When guys bang a couple threes that maybe hadn't made a three in their career, now we have to adjust. So it's those things that you only get better by going through it. And, you know, we'll learn from this and break the tape down. And they're excited about what we can be, because we're nowhere near, nor should we be. I would really be nervous if we were at where we could be and had hit our potential. We're a long, long ways, but it's October, and that's we're in a good place.
Hey, you look at this, and last one I've got for you here, Coach. But you know, you see a lot of things correct. That's the first thing as a coach. Normally, that's what you say. But what did you like as far as what you saw too?
Well, I thought for the most part we had a couple key turnovers, but for the most part, for a game this early, a lot of times they're going to get sloppy, and we have a lot of, you know, have turnovers.
Only seven,
which I thought was pretty good. I thought we got better at handling the ball screens. You know, you got some newer guys in there, and when do you switch it? When do you not? When do you hedge it? When do you not? And some of the exchanges where we exchange, but we forgot to go to the guy that we left. So just things like that have to happen through an experience like this, where you learn. And now we'll see ourselves on film tomorrow, and you know, go back to work on the floor tomorrow and get better from it.
All right, thanks so much, Coach. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Brian.
Our thanks to Brian Butch and, of course, head coach Greg Gard of the Wisconsin Badgers, sharing his thoughts postgame after the 84-83 loss for the Badgers to Oklahoma in exhibition play. We'll be back with more in a moment. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Fans, here's your Quick Trip to the Ballpark ticket offer. Spend $200 at participating Quick Trip locations and get a free Terrace Reserve ticket to a 2024 Brewers home game. Check brewers.com/quicktrip for more details. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
feeling saucy? Then come down to A&W in Boscobel and dip a juicy five-piece hand-breaded chicken tender combo into the signature spicy Papa sauce. Enjoy your combo with crispy French fries and an ice-cold mug of fresh A&W root beer. Dip into A&W and try them today. Cruise on in to A&W on Highway 61 Boscobel, where the root beer is always cold and the vibes never get old. Prices and participation may vary.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Back one final time from Milwaukee. Badgers fall to Oklahoma 84-83, but I really took note, as much as anything else, Brian, of the tone of head coach Greg Gard in his postgame comments with you. He sounded, you know, not at ease, but almost upbeat, just to really maybe even excited about all of the information that the team was able to gather, finding out the areas where they were efficient and deficient, and just seemed very aware of kind of what this means for the team going forward, and you know, almost gets you even more excited for the regular season now.
Totally, and I think that's the biggest thing when you look at this in general is overall, you play these games to learn about your team. They learned a lot.
Yes.
So now you correct those, you teach those, you fix those, and now you become a better basketball team. And I think that's ideally what, you know, was achieved tonight, and that's what should have been. And I think that's again, you know, I don't know if coach was upbeat, but it doesn't count.
Exactly.
So you evaluate that and you move forward.
Sure, and not to again put more on it than necessary, but what about you? What are you looking forward to seeing out of Wisconsin now that you've gotten eyes on them against another team for the first time?
I love the pace at which they play that. The ability to shoot the ball from three is still going to be there. They're 10 of 31 for 32%. I thought my question coming into this game was, would they be good enough at getting at the free throw line just because of last year, how aggressive John Tanjay was? Right, like how do you replicate that? How do you get that? Well, they got there 18 times. I still have questions as far as rebounding the basketball on the defensive end. I think offensively, the way they rebound the basketball is really good. John Blackwell does a great job of getting himself a lot of offensive rebounds. As you look at, I mean, Nick Boyd had two, three for Nolan Winter, three for John Blackwell as far as offensive rebounds. And the way, I mean, they had 14 of them. Now, defensively, are they able to clear it up? You know, clean it up. It's a tie ball game. They don't get the defensive rebound. Oklahoma gets the offensive rebound. They go up by two. They don't score on that next possession. They come down. Oklahoma does. Pack scores that little, you know, snake dribble.
Yeah.
Now it's a 4-point game. Well, it all starts why? Because you don't get the defensive rebound. So that's something that, as you watch, you improve on. But this team's going to be really good. I don't have any questions as far as that goes. They've got depth. They've got guys that can step out and stretch the floor. They've got Nick Boyd in the point guard position that can play with pace. Defensively, you expect them to have some errors. There were, so you fix them.
I just think, too, you know, Nick Boyd is going to get his jumper going more, going forward than he did tonight, and he was still supremely effective. And again, Austin Rapp, I think he is going to catch some people off guard, be a head turner for Badger fans with just, he is the quintessential modern big man. As you mentioned, guys who can stretch the floor, big men who can step outside the arc and knock down a three. I think Rapp is going to be, you know, one of the big, you know, transfer portal additions, I should say, that people look back to and reflect on from this season.
I mean, he had that huge three to tie the thing up with about 30 seconds left as well. So I just, in general, yes, there's no question he's going to create and give space to this team. Space is a tough thing. And when you have space, now all of a sudden offensively you're so much better.
Well, the Badgers will be back on the floor on October 29th from the Kohl Center to take on UW-Platteville at 7 o'clock. One final exhibition tune-up before things tip off for real against the Campbell Camels on November 3rd, first week of the college basketball regular season underway in November. Matt will be back. He'll have the call of the UW-Platteville exhibition game and, of course, the regular season opener against Campbell. You can listen to Matt and Tausch on the call of Wisconsin football tomorrow, way out in the Pacific Northwest, taking on the Ducks in Eugene. So a great time of year in college athletics, crossover season as it's known colloquially, just about everything up and running now, fall sports, winter sports getting going. It's a fun time of year. Any final thoughts, Butchie?
No, I think this is exactly what needed to happen. You obviously want to win games, but these don't count. You've learned a lot about your team. You've got a week to prepare, and then let's get ready to tip this thing off November 3rd.
All right, man. Time's certainly not slowing down. Looking forward to that. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield, under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For my broadcast partner, Brian Butch, our engineer, Ryan Elliott, and Aisha Jackson back at our Badger Sports Properties studios, I'm Chris Vosters filling in for the Hall of Famer Matt LePate tonight, inviting you to join us tomorrow for Badger football, Wisconsin versus Oregon. And again, the next Badger basketball broadcast will be on October 29th against UW-Platteville in exhibition play. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger basketball has been brought to you by Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells, proud casino partners of Wisconsin Athletics. Coors Light, Wisconsin fans choose chill. Fabic Cat, your cat equipment dealer throughout Badgerland. UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. And by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
You know, I was in the military. I don't want to see us where we are. But the fact is, this stuff should scare people. And Mr. Fetterman and others up there on the Hill ought to really be paying attention. Maybe go back and read some things from 1933, 34, and onward to figure out what this looks like. Because these are incremental. This is an incremental move. Every one of these things.
Yep.
And you don't just turn into a fascist country overnight. There are incremental moves, and you go back and read history and you see what happened. A certain segment of the population is demonized. They start to push, militaristic rule in these cities, and it just keeps going. And do we want to be there as Americans? I hope not.
No, look, the water's boiling. We are the frog in the boiling water. It's time to start jumping. You brought up the fact that you were in the military, you're a veteran, you're MP, all of that stuff. I got to get your thought before I let you go on something that my congressman, Republican Scott Perry, had to say recently on another program. He said they hate the military. He's talking about Democrats. That's only a credential that they get when they want to run for office. They join the military, they serve a little bit, and they get their credential, and then they run for office and wear the uniform and say, look at me, I support America. But let's face it, he said, all their votes say they don't support America. He said they don't care about the Constitution or the nation's defense. So, with your background, and you hear that from our my congressman, what do you think?
Well, again, I think they are gaslighters. I think he's a gaslighter. I think he is one of these guys that has wrapped himself around in the flag as someone who served. He served. I served. But the fact is, we're allowed to have different viewpoints in America about how the country should be ran. And unfortunately, they have gotten into this idea that they're the only ones that get to carry a flag around. And as a Democrat, and I've been a Democrat probably since Bill Clinton. I voted for Reagan when I was in the military. But the fact is, what I have seen over the years is how you treat federal employees, how you treat the military, all these things. I think Democratic Party has tried to do a good job at those things. And Mr. Perry, you know, he's absent. The guy does nothing on Capitol Hill.
I can tell you that. But let me ask you this, because, you know, as we've been talking about this, the water boiling, a military that is ideological is part of that. And the fact that they are right now trying to even further divide the country on the military. Again, this is another one of those divisive tactics to put our team on separate teams. And I think, you know, from not just from a national unity standpoint, from a national security standpoint, this is not a good thing. This is a really, really bad situation to be in.
Yeah, I served in the 118th Airborne MP Company in the 18th Airborne Corps, and I also served in the 82nd Airborne. And I can tell you, none of us talked about politics. I mean, as troops, I didn't know what the next guy was. I didn't know how he voted. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't, you know, but Ronald Reagan didn't come to Fort Bragg and have pep rallies. He didn't come to Fort Bragg and hand out Merck. That's the difference here. Trump has stood in front of our troops and bashed the former president of the United States. This has not been done. This is not appropriate. And you haven't heard Congressman Perry say, oh, man, this is bad. Don't do this. Don't do it.
No,
that's what he should be doing.
Where was Scott Perry when Pete Hegseth was calling all our military leaders fat, weak, and woke?
Right. Pull 800 generals together and attack them. Yeah. These guys, by the way, had to go through the Army War College and other colleges. They have bachelor's, master's degrees, PhDs. These guys train and train and train to be generals at that level. I was never at that level. I was an NCO.
Yeah, but Phil, they're just doing it to get the credential. That's it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like us. I didn't go out and I take my sergeant stripes and run for office. I did my duty in the military. I came back. I got a job. I take care of my family. That's what we do. But the fact is, he doesn't own patriotism. What pisses me off about those kind of guys is they think they own patriotism. And the Democratic Party better step up. And that's why a bunch of veterans in the Democratic Party are stepping up and saying, hey, enough of this. Enough. I serve too. You don't get to have this.
Yep.
And I've been making that clear when I've been out talking to anybody.
Good on you, Phil. As always, I appreciate the time. I know you'll be back because this is not going to end anytime soon, or I fear well, but I want to keep us up to date on what's going on. But Phil Glover, thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Rick. Thank you.
Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. You ready for the big ballroom? Maybe they can rent it out for weddings, you know, things like that, since that seems to be the focus, right? That's the focus, 100% focused. Rick@therickssmithshow.com. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1940. That was the day that the federally mandated 40-hour work week went into effect for U.S. workers. The 40-hour week had been passed as part of the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938. Making 5 days of 8 hours work the national standard had long been a top goal for labor. For decades, union members organized, demonstrated, went on strike, and even died for the right to work 8 hours. Labor argued that reducing the long, unregulated hours of toil was a matter of workers' health and safety. It was also a matter of dignity. A more reasonable work week would give workers the time to spend with their families, to pursue other interests, and to have a full life outside of the grinding schedule demanded by many bosses. Before the turn of the 20th century, the 8-hour day movement declared 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours for what we will as their motto. In 1886, nationwide rallies and strikes for 8 hours took place on May 1st. Today, May Day is celebrated as a workers' holiday around the world in remembrance of that struggle. In 1888, the American Federation of Labor took up the cause, and the Carpenters Union became the standard bearer for the 8-hour day. 10 years later, the United Mine Workers Union members won the 8-hour workday. In 1916, the Adamson Act made 8 hours the standard for interstate railroad workers. A decade after that, Ford Motor Company, a leader in U.S. industry, established the 40-hour workweek. Each of these victories were a step along the way to making the 8-hour day a reality and the law of the land. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and the Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, you know, the more I think about what's going on in D.C., the angrier I get. And the angrier we should all get. The fact that billionaires have had so much power and so much control and extracted so much wealth from the working class, that you've got federal workers. And this is where I'm struggling in this moment. You've got federal workers who are literally living hand to mouth. And in food lines, look, I had someone send me just the other day a story from CNN and saying that, you know, there was a food bank in D.C. and they were holding a federal employees specific day for, you know, people with federal IDs who work for the federal government to come and get a box of food so that they could feed their families because no paycheck. And the response that I got was, you know, kind of a callous, you know, more of, I don't really care about these workers kind of, you know, kind of weird positioning and more of a, well, you know, can you believe that they would turn people away who don't have jobs? And I'm like, do you know that, you know, a good majority of the people who get food from food banks actually work, just like a large number of people who are homeless actually have jobs? And it really, this is another that kind of poor shaming, kind of working class shaming that goes on. That's really frustrating. The sad reality is most federal workers don't make the kind of money that the nonsense chain emails of the past and now internet hoax, posts. You know, not every federal employee is a millionaire. Not everyone has contacts to Elon. Most of them are working just to keep a roof over their head. And when you have these kind of disruptions, like Phil talked about, the fact that, you know, he had problems when he missed paychecks, like everyone does. The anger here shouldn't be at federal workers who need help. The anger should be at a system that, well, can't seem to function. And who's responsible for that system? I blame us. I blame we, the working people, who have been so easily divided by those billionaires. Because you know who's not going out without a meal today? Our billionaires. Do you know who's not worried about paying their rent? Our billionaires. You know who's not driving an Uber or a Lyft to pay their child's tuition? Our billionaires. And they're the ones behind all of this. They're the man behind the curtain. Only, well, ours is wearing a, you know, an orange costume and building a big ballroom. What, in some 90,000 square foot ballroom, some gaudy, never mind. They say it's $200 million. It's going to cost $200 million. And then I've seen $250 to $300 million. I'm waiting for the, well, you know, we had cost overruns for those scab contractors who are building it because we didn't build union with project labor agreement and with prevailing wage or with anything else because we did it with private money. So we can screw workers however we want. So when we, the taxpayers, eventually pick up the bill, and oh, trust me, we're going to pick up a good part of the bill. We will have a monument to this moment, and maybe we earned it. Maybe we have earned what's coming. But to send me articles about struggling public sector workers who are just trying to feed their families, I don't know. I'm struggling with it. I want to hear your thoughts. Who's to blame in all of this? Is it the Democrats for standing up for health care? Even if John Fetterman says, well, we knew. Or is it the Republicans who see this as a wet dream opportunity to do all of the crazy stuff that they wanted to do, they've been fantasizing in their think tanks to do to us? Or is it the billionaires who control everything, who this is what they really want? I want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you will find ours. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick at Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Pentagon sending a carrier group to Venezuela's doorstep, part of what President Trump calls his war on drug cartels. ABC's Martha Raddatz on the new airstrike that obliterated a suspected drug boat in the Caribbean today.
Hegseth saying at least six people were killed, claiming without evidence the boat was being operated by Tren de Aragua, a designated terrorist organization. It's the 10th known military attack on alleged drug boats, including two in the eastern Pacific Ocean off Central America.
D.C. police say five people were shot near Howard University tonight. None were Howard students. Three weapons recovered, and police have two suspects in custody. An anonymous donor who President Trump calls a patriot and a friend is donating $130 million to the Pentagon to pay troops during the government shutdown. This is half a million government workers missed their first full paycheck today. This is ABC News.